And well, my name is Pastor Sue. If you're new to The Rock, my husband and I are the senior children's pastors here, and we've been blessed to be on staff for 15 years now. We're also blessed to be able to teach in the Bible College, and I teach a new members class called Rooted and Grounded. And then the other thing that I've been blessed to get to do here for 15 years now, but actually about 35 years when I look back on my whole history, is to be able to talk to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that briefly tonight, and then we're going to pray. Are you ready to pray tonight? I know you came to pray, so I don't want to spend too long, but I do want to talk to you about this area, because years ago, years and years and years ago, when I was a junior in college, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that time, I'd been raised in a denominational church, loved God as far back as I can remember, received Jesus on my bed in the midnight hour at age 9. Yeah, your kids can just call out to Jesus and just receive Jesus in their bedroom. Isn't that good? But raised in the religious structure that I was raised in, I was taught, carefully taught, that making Jesus the Lord of your life was really all there was to the Christian walk. And that's definitely the most important part to the Christian walk. And if you don't make Jesus your Lord, you haven't even got to first base. And so obviously, to live eternally, you need to make Jesus your Lord. But if we look in the book of Acts, we see that there was always two different things going on. People would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and become believers, and then they would go on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There were a dynamic of both things going on. And so at that time, I was a junior in college when someone started opening the Word of God to me. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I saw what a contrast there was in my life. I'd made Jesus my Lord as a young child, but not knowing that there was power that I could have in this life, I led a very weak and defeated life. And on the surface, you wouldn't have known that there was much difference from me as anybody that I worked with or went to school with that was not born again. And when I saw in the Word of God that there was more, that Jesus wanted us to have power, that he even told his early disciples to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power. He actually told them basically, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you receive power. It set me on a path to want to alert Christians that they could have the power of God in their life. And it just kind of launched me on a mission. I didn't know if anybody else knew, but when I saw it in the Word of God and saw what a difference it made in my life, then I was just like, like a kid with a new toy. I mean, I just wanted to tell everybody how much God had for them and wanted them to live in victory in this life. But in relation to being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's many things that happen when you're filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's many things that happen in your life that are amazing. But perhaps the most wonderful thing that I experienced and that I want to bring forth to you tonight is in the area of prayer. And I found that what God's desire was that once we were filled with the Holy Spirit, that we could have an access and an avenue of prayer that was very dynamic in the area of praying for other people. Now, I was raised in a little church, and my whole family was. And as a Christian, older, I was in college, I prayed for different people, prayed for my family, didn't see much happening. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to pray for my family in the Spirit and pray for friends and loved ones, I found them coming to the Lord like that. There was so much of an acceleration that went on in this area, in the area of prayer and praying for other people. And so I'd like to talk to you about that tonight, but in relation to the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? How many of you know people that are not saved? Okay, we're all together here. Yes. How many of you, would you say that it's safe to say that they're not praying for themselves to get saved? Is that a safe assumption? And so, for God to work in their lives, for them to come to know the Lord, it's going to take someone praying for them. How many of you know, actually probably know, at least one person in your life that was really praying for you before you came to the Lord? There was Grandma or Aunt Betty or, you know, Cousin Lucy or someone that was praying for you, and you're here tonight. And aren't you glad for them? Boy, they're going to have great reward in heaven. But I want to talk to you about this area of intercession, or to intercede, or to pray on behalf of others. The word intercede, there's a scripture in Ezekiel 22 and 30. We're not going to turn there. But it talks about that God is looking for someone to stand in the gap and pray for others. And unless God raises up someone to pray for the unsaved, they will go to hell. Is that not a fact? And so God wants us to purpose in our hearts to step up to the plate, to be the person that will stand in the gap, that will intercede, that will pray on behalf of others, that they can be born again. But first, before this happens, the unsaved must hear the gospel. Number one, the unsaved must hear the gospel. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So the word of God must go forth for the unsaved to become saved. They must hear the good news, the gospel. Do I hear an amen? Number two, in praying for the unsaved, we must pray for the right people to minister to them. Have you caught on that, especially when it comes to relatives, you might not be the right person? You know, sometimes people that talk to me, and maybe, you know, mom and dad don't want to listen to them. And I go, you know, mama wiped your bottom when you were a baby. You know, you don't have a whole lot you can tell mama. And so sometimes, especially in the area of our relatives, we're sometimes not the best person. But God wants to send the right people to the unsaved that can minister to them. In Matthew 9:37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So we need to pray that laborers, the right laborers, will be sent to our unsaved friends and relatives that can minister the gospel to them. Someone that they respect, someone that they will listen to. You might be a laborer for someone else. And that's why we need to pray, as Paul prayed, that the door of utterance would be given to us, that we can preach the word boldly as we ought to preach. And if God opens a door for you to speak to a coworker or someone in school, if you're in school, you need to be obedient to speak the word in love, because you're somebody's laborer. Amen? So, number one, we need the unsaved must hear the gospel. But we must pray that the right persons are sent to them, the right laborers. Number three, we need to pray for their eyes to be opened. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and it says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The God of this world system, little g God, has blinded the eyes of people so they don't see what is clearly true and what is false. Who in their right mind would not want to go to heaven? Amen? Are you with me tonight? Who in their right mind would want to go to an eternity of hell? The absence of good, the absence of light, the absence of love, eternal torment forever and ever and ever. Who in their right mind? They're blinded by the God of this world system, little g God, the devil. Well, Ephesians 1:16 through 19 says, Paul was speaking here to the church in Ephesus, and he speaks to us. He said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. We need to pray that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened, that the lights will come on, that the enemy will not be able to blind them anymore to see what is obviously true. Amen? And then number four, we need to continue to pray for the unsaved in the Spirit. And this is what I want to talk to you about a little bit tonight. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, talking about unknown tongues here, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. There's another verse in Romans 8. Actually, I'm going to skip a little bit ahead. In Romans 8, 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. When we're praying for the unsaved, when we're praying for our unsaved family members and coworkers and friends, wanting them to come to know Jesus, we don't always know what to pray for as we ought, like Romans 8:26 brought out. But the Holy Spirit can make intercession through you according to the will of God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it's not saying that it can't come out of your mouth. It's saying that it cannot be uttered in articulate language because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. What is it going to take for your brother Bill to come to the Lord? What is it going to take for your friend Julie to come to the Lord? You don't know what to pray for as you ought. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I began to pray in the Spirit, to pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit began to work and bring labors to my unsaved relatives and move in their heart and bring labors and people that could minister to them. And they began to receive Jesus overnight, one by one, because of this avenue of praying in the Spirit. Are you ready? Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, some people have looked at the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and they've said, you know, Paul's saying it's better to prophesy here. And so they've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater and said, you know, we're not supposed to speak in tongues. You know, we're supposed to just preach in languages that people understand, and it's all about prophecy. Yeah, in the church, it is. But the first part of that verse is a valid truth also that just is amazing. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. That's why it seems so peculiar to you. You're not speaking to you. It's not to speak to other people, but it is to speak to God. Now, that's pretty amazing. It says, but to God, for no one understands him, not even you. You're like, well, how am I going to know what I'm saying? You're not. So get over it. You're not speaking to you. But it says here, however, in the Spirit. See, that's where we need to be praying, in the Spirit. Paul said in the 14th verse there, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're not speaking to you. You're not speaking to other people. That's really not what it's all about. But your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to God mysteries. Now, that word mysteries means divine secrets, God talk. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit prays through you according to the will of God. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. I think when people understand the purpose for praying in the Spirit, the purpose for yielding to the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues, then they don't have such a problem with it in connection to the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. Oh my gosh. The Holy Spirit comes in and he's got 9 ways in which he can manifest through you supernaturally. But it is the first gift that we see in manifestation over and over again in the book of Acts. And I personally feel that the reason that might be is because it's the only one of the gifts that's really not about other people. It says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And it says, when I speak in a tongue, I'm not speaking to men, but to God, for no man understands. In the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. Well, when I began to study these things, it just made sense to me that of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, God will be first. And when we spend time first praying in the Spirit, speaking in heavenly language, not speaking to other people, not even understanding what we're saying, but allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us according to the will of God, divine mysteries, divine secrets, things we don't even know that we are praying, but we're speaking forth by the Spirit of God, then we're edified. That's the other purpose for speaking in tongues. We're edified. We're built up. We're strengthened. And it's easier to yield to the other gifts to manifest through us according to the will of God. Because all the other gifts of the Spirit, they're all about ministering to other people. Laying hands on the sick so they'll recover. Having a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom to bless people and to minister to them. But see, God will never, you know, it just sounds like God, because he will never use us at the expense of our relationship with him. He wants us strong in our relationship with him. He wants us to come into his presence, to pray mysteries to him, to speak divine secrets to him, to be built up in the Spirit. So that then when we go out there and do spiritual warfare and are used of God, we can yield so the Holy Spirit can work through us to bless others. Are you with me? Are you okay? Did you go out to lunch or are you still here? So the Holy Spirit knows what it will take for our relatives to come to the Lord. He knows what it'll take. And many times we need to be available to pray in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit can move and get the laborers and the right people to our relatives' hearts, to soften their heart. He knows what they need. So now I want to talk to you a little bit about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to actually invite you to be filled with the Spirit tonight. Are you okay? Everybody good? God has good things for you tonight. As I quoted earlier, in Luke 24:49, Jesus said to his disciples, now he had raised from the dead, and I know they were chomping at the bit to go tell everybody. Their hero man had come back to life. I know that they had wanted to run back to those Roman soldiers, those Pharisees, and go, nah, 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 he is the Son of God. To shout it from the rooftops that he is God, that he's back alive, that he's risen from the dead. But he said basically, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power. And what do? We get people born again and we say, go get somebody else born again. But he didn't do that. He said, don't tell anybody until you receive power. And we need the power of God in our lives. John 4:14 says that salvation will be in you as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He typifies salvation as a well of water resident on the inside. It's the same Holy Spirit. But then in John 38 and 39, he says that out of your belly, out of your heart, out of the very core of your being will flow a river of living water. And in case we didn't understand, in verse 39, he says, this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit that those who believed in him should receive. To be born of the Spirit, you've got a well of water. You've got the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You're as saved as you're ever going to get. But now filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, it has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with being a powerful, effective witness here on the planet. And that's what we need to do. Amen? Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to be going to the Father. He said, you know, it's necessary that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Comforter won't come. But when he comes, he will empower you. He will use you to be an effective witness.